St. Norbert. Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Tomorrow, children, is the great feast of Corpus Christi, and today we are preparing for it. The Church prepares us for this great feast day by giving us today, on its vigil, a great Eucharistic saint. His very symbol is the monstrance, about which we will be gathered for the next 8 days for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which enables us to see our Lord himself in the Blessed Sacrament. St. Norbert is a great saint of the devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, not only adoration, but very strong faith in the real presence and to devoutly receive him frequently in Holy Communion, which, of course, makes him an appropriate saint as our little ones are getting ready now in the last few days before their first Holy Communion, and all of us to receive our Lord especially devoutly during these days of Corpus Christi. Last of all, you know, children, that after the Holy Mass, the greatest prayer that the Church offers is that of the Divine Office. So tomorrow, we will be having the Vespers in the afternoon, as we do for great feast days, adoring our Lord in the words of the beautiful Psalms of King David and the hymns of the Church, which for this feast day were written by the great Saint Thomas Aquinas. Saint Norbert was from a very noble family, and he had the misfortune, because it's not always a good thing, to have as his distant cousin on his father's side the German emperor. It was a misfortune because as a boy, he was a pretty good boy, and he had a vocation to the priesthood. And he was ordained a subdeacon, but then according to the bad system of the day, because he had royal relatives, he was given quite a few livings or jobs, and in the church. And how they used to do it, children, was this, and it was very wicked. So a young priest, or in this case a subdeacon, would get a certain church job, say being a canon, whose job it was to chant the Divine Office. And instead of doing that himself and living a good life, he would hire someone else who was very poor and didn't have any royal relatives to do the job for him. And he would give him just some of his income, and all of the rest he would keep for himself. And in the case of Norbert, well, he just enjoyed himself. He was very handsome, and he had a very nice personality, and he loved to go hunting, and he was a favorite at parties. And so while he said his official prayers himself every day, his Divine Office, all of the rest of the time he spent just enjoying himself. Well, Almighty God wasn't pleased at that at all. One time he was on a very fine horse that was called, would be described as richly caparisoned. That means it had expensive hangings on it. It would be the equivalent of driving, say, a BMW or Cadillac or some very fancy car. And he was on his way to some village on a very fine day like today for a party when all of a sudden it got dark in the sky. And then there was thunder and lightning, and a great bolt of thunder, lightning hit right next to his horse, scared the horse, which threw him, and he was knocked unconscious, and he lay there for an hour, and when he woke up an hour later, his first words were, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The same as Saul, who became St. Paul that way. And our Lord told him, a voice from heaven said, "Seek after good and pursue it. Turn away from evil. Do good." So with that, he left all of his worldliness, and he went on a long retreat. He was ordained a deacon and a priest, and he went on another long retreat, and he said his mass. He wore a very humble kind of a cassock made out of lambskin. And at his first mass, he preached to all the other priests about how vain was the world, and money, and parties, and power, and all those things that get people all excited usually, and how only serving God really mattered. Well, the other priests took it the wrong way, as though he were attacking them, and they defended themselves, and pretty soon they had a big fight, and so he had to go to see the Pope about it. The Pope, conveniently enough, was in France at that time, and he went barefoot all the way down to southern France, to the village of, or the city of Saint-Gilles in Provence, to see the Pope, the great Calixtus II. And the Pope was so impressed, St. Norbert made a confession of his whole life on his knees before the Pope, that he gave him permission to preach wherever he wanted to. And so he did. He called sinners back from their bad lives. He got priests to start to be good again. and he was in one diocese in the north of France where he made such an impression, the bishop said, "Well, don't leave me, I'd like you to stay here." So they agreed that he would found a religious order of canons who would preach and say the divine office, and they would wear white to symbolize being like angels as they sang the divine praises every day. And that was how the order of Prémontré, or the Premonstratensian canons, got started. Around that time, because of the difficulties in the church, and particularly there was one bad priest in a city called Antwerp, what is today Belgium, a heretic arose, and this heretic had lots of money and power, and he got everybody to come to big parties that he gave, and got everybody not to believe in the Blessed Sacrament anymore. And instead, to show that they hated the Holy Eucharist, they would steal the sacred hosts, and they would hide them in the most filthy and foul place they could think of. It was a terrible situation. So the church sent St. Norbert and his canons to Antwerp, and he soon made short work of the heresy and was able to bring many people back to the true Catholic faith. And that's one of the reasons why he's depicted as holding a monstrance, because he was able miraculously to find sacred hosts that had been sacrilegiously hidden, and then the sacred host would be put into a monstrance and adored as an act of reparation. Towards the end of his life, he had two important jobs. One, he was made the Bishop of Magdeburg in Germany. He didn't want to be, but they insisted. And so he joined the procession at the very end, and he was still dressed in a very humble, simple way, and I think he was barefoot. And so the porter, the man at the door of the castle that was for the procession of leading in the new bishop, when he saw this fellow at the very end, thought he was a peasant or a beggar, and he thought, and he said to him, "You have no business here bothering all these important people." And he slammed the door right in the face of the new bishop. And everybody said, "But that's the bishop. You'd better let him in." And the porter was very embarrassed. And St. Norbert was so humble, he didn't mind in the least that he had the door slammed in his face. And he said, "My friend, you know the situation better than all these other people." In other words, that he felt he was unworthy to be a bishop. And in his job as a bishop, he was able to persuade many bad priests to go back to being good, and many people who had stolen things from the church to give them back, or else they would face the judgment of God. Last of all, he worked with St. Bernard, whose statue is there. The two of them were friends and allies, because there was a certain man from a Jewish family who had gotten himself falsely elected the Pope so he could steal the church's goods. His name was Pietro Dallione. He took the name of Anacletus. And the true Holy Father had to flee, and these two saints worked together to get the right Pope back on the throne of Peter and to restore the Catholic Church. You can see St. Norbert was a busy, busy man. We all tend to be rather busy, but he was never too busy to adore the Blessed Sacrament or to sing the divine praises. Let's take him as our patron as we have our Corpus Christi together in school this year, children, to do our very best to show our great love and our belief in our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.